Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship this morning. It is good that we can come into the house of the Lord and offer him our praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. As we come this morning, the announcements were before you on the screen, but there are a couple that I would like to highlight for you as we come, and just helpful reminders for the week ahead. First, a reminder of our congregational meeting next Sunday, November the 5th at 11:30, so kind of just after worship. The purpose of the meeting will be to give permission for the Finance Committee to access funds from the Heritage Trust Fund. So please plan to be here for worship and then to remain for the meeting. Next week also will be our Remembrance Day service. And it is also that Sunday. You're going to set your clocks back on Saturday night when you go to bed. The plus side is you get an extra hour sleep. If you forget, you will be here at the time that the guys at the back and I usually get here, which will be too early. I think I've got that right, which is better than in the springtime when you arrive too late. So, the time change will happen at next weekend, and so you're reminded of that. On Wednesday evening, the 8th of November at 7 p.m., there will be a one-night-only study on the biblical and historical roots of the Palestinian and Israeli conflict. And so if you are wondering about all of the things that lead to the difficulties that we're seeing in the news these days, you can join us on that evening for a discussion. And related to that, we have been announcing for the last couple of weeks that Presbyterian World Service and Development has been collecting funds for the earthquake in Afghanistan. But in light of more current events, they are also collecting funds for relief for Gaza, and those funds will be matched by the government of Canada with a deadline of November 12th. So over the next couple of weeks, you can bring your donations either here to the church or via electronic transfer, or you can go directly to the PWSND website. Any of those things will do, and your gifts given before the 12th will be matched by the government of Canada. Following worship this morning, there will be a choir practice for the choir and for youth of our congregation in preparation for an anthem for next Sunday. And we'll open that to anybody, actually, who wishes to join us for an anthem next week. If you'd like to sing along, we'll do a brief announcement downstairs, or a brief rehearsal downstairs. And finally, the flowers at the front of the sanctuary this morning are placed in memory of Joop Einkorn by his family, and we are grateful for their gift that beautifies our sanctuary this morning. As we enter God's house, let us come in praise, let us stand in the presence of our Lord. The call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Look, a vast multitude, citizens of every nation, speakers of every tongue, standing before the throne of the Lamb.
See how they dwell within God's temple, in the shelter of one who wipes away their tears.
We join our voices with these saints and with the choir of angels who forever sing God's praise.
Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. In life and in death, you bless us, O God. When trouble overwhelms us, you save us. When sorrow overtakes us, you comfort us. When death overcomes us, you overcome death and raise us to new life. You promise us joy everlasting and glimpses of your realm which is to come, when Christ will make all things new. for calling us your children and bestowing upon us such great love. We give you thanks and praise this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we come singing praise to God through the hymn 459, O Servants of God, hymn number 459, or on the screens before you. Please be seated. And as we come into God's presence this morning, we light the Christ candle as a sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we, as his followers, seek to walk in the light of his way. In the face of God's goodness, we recognize our own failings and shortcomings. Hungry for God's mercy, let us tell the truth about our lives that we might receive grace in time of need. This morning's prayer of confession is a responsive prayer, and will appear before you on the screen. Sovereign God, we confess that we are not ready for your holy realm. We want to be numbered among your saints, but we are unwilling to face the time of trial. We want to be gathered among the faithful, but we are unprepared to offer you our lives. Forgive us, merciful God, so that we may return to your fold and rejoice in your presence. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Lamb upon the throne. Amen. Friends, see what love the Creator has given us. We are children of God. Our heavenly parent loves us, forgives us, and is with us through every travail. Amen. Our next hymn will appear on the screens. It is a newer hymn. We sang it about a month ago, so hopefully it sounds familiar to you. We sing the hymn, We Will Remember.
Give you praise for grace.
And do I have some young people this morning who'd like to come forward? Oh no, don't send just one. I'm going to be so confused now. Because there's three. And I know there are three names. Victor. Is that Noah back there with Dad? Andrew, okay. Good morning. Good morning, Victor. Good morning, Andrew. How are you? I can't quite see. It's good to have you here this morning and our other young people who are here as well. And we sang this morning a song about remembering, right? We will remember. We will remember God's faithfulness. Do you have any tricks to help you remember? What? No? You don't know? Ever tie a string on your finger? That used to be a thing when I was a kid. It used to be in cartoons. They tie a string on your finger so that you'd remember something. Do you know how I usually try to remember? I will turn to somebody. So if it's at home, it's usually I turn to Colleen. And or if it's at work here, it's usually I'll go into the office and I'll say to Jessica, "Don't let me forget." And it's not that I really expect that they will remember, but I have found in my life that if I tell somebody else what I need to remember, then I will remember it too. So there are different ways that we kind of remember. But then there's, for us who are a church community, as we gather today, as we think about that song, we will remember God's works and God's faithfulness. How do we remember God's faithfulness? How do we remember God's works? Think. We come to worship, right? We come here each week. And we hear the Bible stories. And we sing God's praise. And we remember that God is good. So we do that. A really good way to help us remember is in the singing of hymns. Right? Because it's funny. You can tell people something. And they might remember, they might forget. But if we take those lessons that we learn in the Bible and we put them to music, they live in our hearts. And we go around and we'll sing the little tune, we'll hum it along, and as we hum it, we remember the words, right? So singing is important. Of course, going downstairs for Sunday school. This morning's title for stuff for Sunday school is Greatest Commandment. Perfect. Greatest Commandment this morning. And the greatest commandment is? I'm hoping it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Greatest commandment. Right? So we learn those things. I learned that in Sunday school. When I was your age, and see, I can still remember. So those are the ways that we remember, by finding opportunities to relive and to rehearse all of those things. So we're really glad that you're here this morning, Victor. We're really glad that Andrew's here this morning, too, because we come into God's presence to worship Him and to learn about Him. And to be reminded that God is good all the time. So we will remember today because we have been here. Okay? And I think Trish is getting ready. Is he going with you, Trish? You're going to go with Trish, and Andrew's going to go, and we'll go downstairs. The young people will go downstairs for their time of remembering. And let us, as we prepare for our time of teaching together, draw together in prayer. Let us pray. Faithful God, how blessed are we who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you fill us. Sanctify us by your word and spirit, so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. So the first reading is from the New Testament, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all of the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are those robed in white? And where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The second reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 34, verses 1 to 10 and 22. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad.
O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed.
This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him.
O fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want.
The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And the third reading is from the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure."
Let us sing the hymn number 624, "Blessed Are They, the Pure in Spirit," number 624.
Is the kingdom of God. Bless.
And this morning's gospel reading is taken from the gospel according to Matthew, reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Listen for God's word. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They sit on top of the piano at home or on the table in the living room, or they hang on the walls in the hallway or up the stairs, family photographs, school pictures of our children, multi-generational clusters of children and parents and grandparents all gathered together for a picture. Black and white photos of ancestors who are long gone, cherished mementos of another century. Family photos. And family photos never cease to amaze us. Did we really look like that? With long hair and short hemlines, distant cousins and relationships revealed in these collections of faces that are frozen in time. Who looks like whom in this great collection of faces? See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Beloved, you are children of God. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this, that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Our reading from 1 John this morning alludes to some great family photo of faith yet to come. A photo of faith when God will be revealed and we will be like him. Just like the family resemblance is found in our photo albums, when God's kingdom is established on earth and the faithful are gathered together, we who have been faithful will see all of those ways that we resemble God. We are the family of God. All of us who gather here this morning, regardless of background, regardless of skin tone, regardless of age or occupation, we are the family of God. We are the family of God yoked in Christian love with those who gather in churches across our city and around the world this morning to give praise to God in the name of Jesus Christ. We are the family of God, united across time and space with those who have gone before us, parents and grandparents and ancestors before them, and people that we have never known, people we have never met, and yet are our ancestors in faith who drawn together by God's great love for us and our shared faith in God. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. See our family photo of faith. In these three short verses that we hear read this morning from the first letter of John, we find so many of the big, you know, the $3 words that the preacher uses from time to time. In these three little verses, we hear the doctrines of adoption and reconciliation, of redemption, of justification and sanctification. This reading is the nexus, the coming together of all that we believe about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God's great love for us. This is where it all meets in these three little verses. Now, avoiding all of those $3 words, simply put, it goes like this. Here in this letter, John celebrates the love of God that refuses to leave humanity languishing in our sin, but who pursues us with a deep and endless compassion to restore our relationship with each other and with God and to set the world right. That love might find its fullest expression in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who put to death our very sins upon the cross. That Jesus might end our sorrow and our dying, that we might live in the presence of God. But more than just some future hope, for those who truly believe and who place their trust in Jesus, that our experience of God's love will change us. Not just sometime out there in the future, but today as well. That we might live with compassion, justice, and hope. That we might come to see in our own family photo of faith that we have arms just like God's. Arms that can embrace our fallen world. That we have hearts just like our brother Jesus, who lived out compassion in the world. And that with each act of compassion and movement toward justice, we might know that we begin to look more and more like Jesus. And that our world looks more like God's kingdom until that great and glorious day when Christ will come again and all will be set right. And we will dwell in the presence of our life-giving God forevermore. That is the hope upon which our faith is built. See what great love God has for us, that he would call us to be the children of God, and that we would come to look more and more like him each day as we seek to live out a life of thanksgiving and blessing and service to others. Rejoice and be glad. For God blesses us with all good things and enables us to be his people. Amen. Friends, how can we withhold our gifts of gratitude in the face of such wondrous love. With glad and generous hearts, let us bring our offerings to God as we present our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. We magnify your name, O God, and together exalt you, for you are so good to us and gracious beyond all measure. In this life, you lead us, comfort us, guide us, and redeem us in countless ways. In death, you usher us to even greater blessing, bringing us through the great ordeal, embracing us in your endless light, and welcoming us to your table of goodness and plenty. These gifts we bring are but a token of our thanks, seeds to be planted for the growing of your kingdom, in which we have sure and certain hope. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come once more, let us sing God's praise as we sing the hymn 611, For All the Saints. We will sing verses 1 to 4 at this time, and we will be completing the hymn later, so you may want to just keep the book open or slide your bulletin in once we are done these first four verses. But for this moment, we sing the hymn, the first four verses, For All the Saints.
Faith me.
Please be seated. As we have heard this day in the reading of Scripture, Scripture gives to us a vision of life beyond our mortal existence. The promise of Scripture is that we abide in God's presence, and as people of faith, we look forward to life lived in the presence of God. On this day, as we celebrate All Saints' Day, which we will celebrate in 3 days, and All Souls' Day the day following, we give thanks to God for all those who shared with us their faith in Christ and all those who rest in the peace of God's presence. This year, as a congregation, we have mourned the loss of the following members and adherents. We remember David McCleary, Bonnie McKinnon, Ron Coleman, Dorothy Snetsinger, and Fred Rennie, Wayne McConnell, Elaine McDonald, Yop Einkorn, Clarice Neal, and Carol Cassidy. Additionally, we have provided funeral service for the following members of our local community: for George Sinfield. We remember the following friends and family members who live on in our hearts and who we continue to commend to God's eternal care: Florence Cullen McKeesey, the cousin of Carol McMillan; Robert Grindley, husband of Margaret Grindley and their daughter Jane; Alex McDonald, husband of Frieda McDonald; and Harvey Simon, the husband of Brenda Aikman. Let us pray. Great God of the universe, from everlasting to everlasting, you are our God. We give you thanks for your great act of creation, giving life and meaning to all things. From the smallest microbe to the most distant universe, we are awed by the wonder and complexity of it all. We thank you that you have breathed life into us and given to us unique abilities with which we can serve you and share with those around you. We thank you for family and friends that enrich our days and in which we learn how to show love and compassion. And we thank you especially for all those whose lives have touched ours and who are named here or in the silence of our hearts, and who now rest from their earthly labors. We thank you for their example to us in love and in faithfulness, for the special gifts that you gave them, which made them uniquely their own person. But most of all, we thank you for the hope of the gospel, a hope which overcomes all sorrow and fear, that nothing can separate us from your love, but that they continue to dwell in the circle of your all-encompassing care. Most of all, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, who has revealed to us the full depth of your love by setting aside all heavenly glory to dwell among us, teaching and touching our lives with your compassion. Help us to see your face, to see you face to face in all we meet, and hold out your forgiveness and reconciliation to all people. May we find joy in our worship, knowing that you are our loving God and constant companion and guide. Hold us in never-ending fellowship with your faithful people in all ages, until at the last we are perfected by your love and all see your glory in us as we are seen in you. We pray all these things in and through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor this day and forevermore. Amen. Let us continue with the singing of the hymn 611, For All the Saints. We will sing verses 5 to the end. And now, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.